Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast, brought to you today by VMware. I'm at VMware's offices in Bryanston in Johannesburg today to talk to Ian Jansen van Rensburg, lead technologist for VMware in sub-Saharan Africa, for a discussion on what's keeping CIOs and IT directors in South African business awake at night. Ian, welcome to Tech Central. First, let's start with a two-minute refresher. VMware is now part of Dell Technologies and a global specialist in virtualization and cloud. In layman's terms, what does that mean?
Correct. Thanks, Duncan. And welcome to our offices.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you're 100% correct. VMware is now part of the Dell Technologies group of companies. We are still a separate company from Dell itself, and also kept separate specifically because we are a entirely software-defined company. And we also started off as a software-defined company back in 1998. Now, what VMware actually do and who we are is at VMware we believe that software has the power to unlock new possibilities for people and our planet. Our software forms a digital foundation that powers the apps, services, and experiences transforming the world. So that sounds actually quite...
Pretty grandiose, right?
Pretty amazing. But we really do feel at VMware that we are a force for good, and that through software, we can really change people's lives and also how companies operate today.
It's all about the plumbing and infrastructure that runs IT, right?
Yes, to an extent. That's a good start there, Duncan. That's what we call, you know, when we start off with a specific, some of our customers, we say that, you know, we take them on a journey because IT is actually a journey. And we start off saying that, you know, that they are infrastructure providers, but what they want to achieve is to become business partners and ultimately a digital provider to that business. And if you are actually looking at virtualizing your infrastructure like compute, network, storage, then you're basically just an infrastructure provider. If you are moving further than that and you are actually automating everything, and you provide policies and you hook on policies to that, you start to become what we call a business partner because you have the capability then to create infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and you can even roll out you know, software applications as a service. Once you get to that stage, you then become a business partner and you start resolving business issues instead of just trying to solve IT issues.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about that today and how the conversations have changed in corporate South Africa and the conversations that you, in fact, are having with your clients. Cloud and digital transformation seems to be foremost in the minds of South African technology and even business executives right now. What are the discussions that you're having with CIOs in this country and how have they changed over the last few years?
Right, so you know, these days when I meet with a CIO, most of them, when the feedback I get ultimately is pretty much the same in the sense that the super CIO of the future need to have a lot of knowledge and experience on the technology side, but also on the business side and the financial side, the value that a specific technology is bringing to a company. Now, if you look at the business outcomes, many businesses are pretty much the same. The business outcomes that they want is ultimately to increase their profitability, to actually protect their brand and customer trust, and to drive innovation, and also to have a competitive edge in a few years' time from now. Now, to achieve those business outcomes, you need a digital foundation, because as we start moving towards the fourth industrial wave, and luckily I said that in this podcast, because I don't think anyone talks about anything else than the fourth industrial wave these days.
Become a bit of a buzzword, right?
Yes, it's almost like what cloud was a while back, and everyone started talking about cloud. But to move towards the fourth industrial wave, you need a software-defined approach. And without a software-defined approach, if you're not going to move that intelligence out of the hardware into the software, you're going to have big problems on your hand, on your hands, to actually start moving towards that fourth industrial
wave. Which is what you guys do, right?
That is 100%.
So just explain what that means exactly for a company. What do they – in terms of perhaps the way IT was managed traditionally inside a company – compared to where we're going, and this another buzzword to, that gets used a lot is this digital transformation. It's all part of this. What does it actually mean in practice for a company?
Okay. So I want to take it a little step back to explain that to you. Let's say there was no virtualization. Back in the day when I started with VMware about 12 years back, most companies were running physical servers in their data centers. Now VMware came along, we changed a few things, we brought in the virtualization layer, and now you could virtualize your compute, so running several virtual machines on top of a single hardware platform. And we took care about the complexity between the hardware and the software. Now that saved on power, cooling, space. It brought tremendous benefits to companies, which was great. But that's what we call a point solution, a stack. You know, people keep on building stacks. You know, you've got your Oracle stack, you've got your SQL stack, you've got your email stack. You know, there's all kinds of stacks inside a IT environment. And that's basically solving one of those point solutions, or point solution, solving one of those problems.
Right.
Now, if you look at digital transformation, we can't just stay at compute virtualization. You have to move it throughout the actual data center itself. And you have to move it from compute to networking to storage, security, and also then automate that entire environment. And once you've completed that, you have what we call a software-defined data center. And also what I like to say is infrastructure as code. And VMware does not just look at the software-defined data center, but we also look at cloud infrastructures. So we have signed agreements with AWS to run VMware on AWS. We've also done the same now with Microsoft, where we'll have Azure VMware cloud services running inside of Azure. So that's from a taking your software-defined data center running on VMware cloud cloud foundation, and moving that into the cloud. So that is basically any cloud running any application accessed from any device. And once you have that any cloud, any application, any device, then we start talking about proper digital transformation.
Yeah. It's really turning that base infrastructure layer into a commodity and flattening things, right?
Correct. It's almost building a data center operating system. You know, and once you have the data center operating system in place, you know, who cares about, you know, what's underneath it, the actual specific networking, etc. If you run, as an example, if you run workloads on AWS, you don't worry about, you know, what storage they're using underneath, what networking they're using underneath, how it's configured, is it patched, is it up to date. You just know that you're running specific workloads on AWS or Azure, and that's it. Now, why not do the same in your local data center? And soon we'll have technology or edge technologies that will come in the form of AWS Outposts, which will also be able to run VMware and managed by VMware and deployed by VMware in the customer's private data center, or what we call VMware on Dell EMC, which will also be edge technology, be able to also managed, installed by VMware, running what we call Cloud Foundation, which is virtual networking, compute, and storage at the edge.
I imagine a lot of companies have latched on, and we are for some time into the sort of whole cloud hype thing. But I imagine a lot of companies are looking at this, and some companies haven't migrated to the cloud at all, but they're looking at this and saying, well, okay, cloud, we just need to put our apps and services, whatever, into a data center, perhaps managed off-site. What you're saying is it's the cloud journey is that much, so much more than that. How far down the line are South African corporates, generally speaking, in understanding this transition, first of all, and then actually doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I always have a bit of a chuckle because I've got this one slide that it says everything will be in the cloud in 2015, everything will be in the cloud in 2016, 2017. And is everything in the cloud at the moment? No. You know, a lot of companies actually still make use of their private data centers, mm-hmm. and they're running specific workloads or cloud-native applications developed specifically for cloud infrastructure. And the reason why everything is not running in the cloud yet is because we have traditional applications, traditional infrastructure, and these are business-critical applications that's been built over years. Once again, stacks. Mm-hmm. You know, these are stacks
often
of
developed
technology.
In-house.
Yes, mm-hmm. developed in-house that now runs, and it's not configured or developed to run in a typical cloud environment. So, what VMware has done is we said, well, you know, these applications are running. Already running on top of VMware software, on top of a hypervisor layer, why not build this hypervisor in the cloud and you can move seamlessly with network virtualization technology these workloads that you know already runs in your private data center into the cloud and back again. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, we said VMware is virtualizing hardware. And the technology that we use there is ESX, our hypervisor. And if VMware could virtualize hardware and cloud is the new hardware, mm-hmm. we can also virtualize cloud. And putting a virtualization layer between the clouds, which we now call NSX, which is network virtualization, you will be able then to run or move workloads from your private data center into the public. Domain and then also back again.
And it doesn't matter which public domain it is.
Well, to this stage, we fully support VMware on AWS. It's an offering by VMware running on bare metal tin inside AWS's data centers. We've announced at Dell Forum in Vegas that we'll soon be able to run Azure VMware Cloud Services. That will be an offering by Microsoft and also then basically delivered through what we call VirtuStream and Cloud Simple. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what the future might bring. There's still another big mega cloud provider out there that's probably smiling at the moment.
We've obviously got Microsoft, which just launched its Azure data centers here in South Africa, and Amazon Web Services is coming too. Are you going to be integrating your technologies into those local data centers, or is it too early to know?
I can't at this stage give you a definite answer. You know, the answers that I'm getting from AWS and Microsoft and so forth is normally when they launch with full services. Mm-hmm. So the chances that they will launch with VMware on AWS is very good, and the chances that we will run Azure VMware Cloud Services in South Africa is also very good. Mm-hmm. So I can't definitely say yes, but I would say the chances are very good for doing that.
Yeah. Well, let's come back and let's talk a bit about the discussions you're having with companies. You mentioned when we spoke the other day that you don't sell technology to customers anymore, that increasingly it's a business discussion, and in many respects the technology itself is playing second fiddle in those discussions. Why is that? And surely the technology underpinnings are still critically important.
Duncan, you're 100% correct. I think there's a few vendors out there that will probably hit me with a bat if I had to say it's not a technical sell anymore. Mm. But, you know, sometimes vendors reach a specific point
where we touch, we don't do a point solution anymore.
Mm.
We touch much more than just a, you know, specific environment like compute or storage or networking. We touch from the actual data center right through to the device, to cloud and back again. We touch environments which is telco environments where we have telecommunication switching.
Mm.
We touch the data center. We touch cloud. So I coined a phrase which I said VMware is quickly becoming the TCP/IP of virtualization because these days everything connects with an IP address, and that's what we call TCP/IP. And VMware is quickly becoming the TCP/IP of virtualization. Now, if you have so many areas to cover and you've got so much to do your horizons is quite big, so ultimately you can't just focus on one thing anymore. You need to start focusing on what the business challenges are and what value you can bring to the customer. Customers want to buy value. They don't want to buy technology anymore. They want to know, what is it going to do for their profitability?
Mm.
What is it going to do for their name and security? And is it going to protect their brand? What is it going to do from an innovation perspective inside that company? And it's, you know, it's really all about the business. And people are the business. And any business has got a revenue stream.
Mm.
Any business must make money. And they make money in a certain way. And that's connected to maybe an application. The application needs to run somewhere. And then we only start talking about the technology. So from a VMware perspective, we see more and more customers asking, what value, business value, are you bringing to me? Not what technology are you bringing to me, not how can you speed up my network? How can you speed up my storage? How can you? It's what business technology you're bringing to me, or business value. And I think the cloud providers probably also drove some of that, because if someone puts a service or a workload into the cloud, they're not asking that mega cloud provider, you know, what IO are you bringing? What point solution are you deploying? What type of hypervisor are you running? They need that service to run, and they need the native services of that mega cloud provider to drive the business for them.
Yeah, it must be a bit difficult though for a techie to go in and have these business conversations, because you know techies love talking about technology. It must be a little bit more difficult in terms of the conversations. And I'd imagine you'd need a slightly different skill set within the VMware organization as well to go and have those conversations.
Correct. You know, in within VMware systems engineering, which is technical pre-sales, we've always been focused and aligned very, very closely to the technology. That will not change.
Mm-hmm.
We still think, you know, VMware is a technology company. We're a software-defined company, and that's what is number one to our hearts. But we're also a sales organization.
Mm.
And to be a sales organization, you need to understand what's going on in your customer's business. So we are becoming more business focused from a technical perspective, from a technical organization perspective. We are becoming more business focused, more sales focused, and also a little bit more value focused from a financial perspective. So we run things like the IT value model. We run DICE inside what we call DICE, which is a financial type of mapping system that we have to show the value to the customer. And then we ultimately also have what we call advisory services. So definitely it's not about just the technology anymore, but these days when a systems engineer, or what we call a solutions engineer, enters a customer's premises, they're going to definitely talk a little bit more than just what is vMotion and what is vSphere and what is ESX.
Right.
And what we see is in the customer's domain, the CIO, CTO, Chief Digital Officer, C whatever, is also changing.
Mm-hmm.
And they also need to move closer to the technology. where they were very close to the business, and vice versa. And this is what I actually love about the IT industry, because we are constantly changing. We are constantly evolving. And I think we're at a stage where we are going to stop building stacks, and we're going to basically focus on the important thing, and that's the application linked to the business. Mm.
Which naturally takes you more into those business-type conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you finding corporate South Africa more amenable to having conversations with you about their strategy and where they want to go and what they want to achieve? You know, I'd imagine in the past these were very technical conversations, and you'd be selling products, services, etc. The conversations, as you say, are shifting to one where there's more engagement about the business strategy. How open, generally speaking, is corporate South Africa to sharing their plans with you as a vendor of technology solutions, and so that you can help them with their business strategy?
Yes, so some of the corporates in South Africa, as number one, not all of them, mm-hmm. But has been hit hard through security vulnerabilities. So, you know, the customer trust and the brand has been affected to an extent. So ultimately, there is certain things like security that is top of mind. Mm-hmm. And they would like to actually protect their name and also then have that customer trust installed. So definitely the companies are opening up the information from their side to actually assist them with that. And then from an innovation perspective, they do want to drive innovation. South African companies, specifically South African, do want to drive a lot of innovation to their customers. You know, a person or a user is a funny individual. We always like change, even though we don't want to admit it. Some people don't adapt to change very well, but we do like it though. If there's a new phone that comes out, if there's new software that comes out, some individuals, you know, they can't wait. They need it now.
I'm one of them. Install.
Install. Next. I want it now. And ultimately, that's South African companies know that, you know, and they want to innovate. They want to have a better consumer experience. They want to provide a better consumer experience. And to provide that better consumer experience, you internally also have to do things differently. And hence the fact that, to answer your original question, yes, they do share under NDAs and confidentiality clauses and everything, exactly what they want to achieve, where they want to go, and their plans for the future. And that's where VMware is to assist them and help them down this journey.
Out of interest, I mean, South Africa's economy hasn't been in great shape for quite a few years now. VMware is obviously a global organization, American company. American market has been flying for the last 10 years. Other economies around the world have been doing very well. But South Africa has kind of become stuck economically. Are you having, as a result of that, are you having perhaps slightly different discussions with corporate South Africa as VMware is perhaps having with entities in markets that are booming currently?
I wouldn't say we're having different discussions. You know, the challenges that businesses have across continents is basically the same. Mm. Whether the economical climate of a specific country is looking good or bad, you know, is dependent on that you know, local. You know, economy within that country, but I wouldn't say that affects VMware's, you know, capability and revenue drive within that specific country. I've actually seen quite a bit of a knock-on effect that if the Americas does very well and Europe does very well, South Africa is sort of like slowing down again from a revenue perspective. And as soon as America starts dipping again from a revenue perspective, Europe dips, and then South Africa, some other reason, you know, goes up.
Yeah, it's a weird correlation.
It's weird, but that's over the years I've been at VMware, that's basically what we've seen.
Interesting. So let's come back and talk about the role of the CIO and how that's changed as well. Increasingly, they're expected to not only be masters of technology, but also of business and legal and regulatory, you name it. And I imagine that many of them are ill-equipped for this. Historically, the CIO's role, or perhaps they were the IT director or the IT manager or the head of the IT department, it was about ensuring systems were up and running efficiently. And probably in many organizations, not terribly much more than that. Are they struggling as well? I mean, the demands are changing. They're also having to have many more conversations and become experts in areas where they haven't expected to be in the past. Is it difficult for these CIOs to reinvent themselves?
I would say, I mean, I sit in on a lot of CIO roundtables and C-level exec roundtables and events and so forth, and I like to listen and make notes of what's said. Now, one of the things that was said in a recent roundtable is a business can grow only as fast as its slowest board member. Another thing that was basically mentioned around a CIO roundtable was that they basically said that digital transformation is here. It is a reality. It's just about how quick and how fast CIOs will react to actually implement it and get it up and running. So I personally do not think that CIOs is struggling. In any case, the CIOs that is willing to change, that's willing to adapt, that's willing to actually provide the employees and so forth in their department the ability to change and to change the people and process. CIOs that stuck in a rut, that does not want to go anywhere, that, you know, I've been doing things for so many years in a specific way and it's worked for me and we'll keep on doing it that way, will struggle. Where we are moving towards quickly to the fourth industrial revolution and also fully software defined with digital platforms, etc., the only constant is change. And you know, the change is quite difficult in some instances, and if you can adapt to that, and you can align and have your teams aligned to it and ready, I would say the CIO of tomorrow will be well equipped to make a business run and to innovate, and then they might become the CFOs of tomorrow, the chief digital officers of tomorrow, the chief technology officers tomorrow, or the chief technology officers might become the CIO of tomorrow. They might think out another title that will pop up soon. So I really think it boils down to the individual, the person, how open they are to change, and how well they can articulate that change to the people reporting to them.
I was about to say, because in big companies, you've got big IT teams, and this, what we're going through now is a major shift. And there have been big shifts in this industry in the past, but this is just another major shift.
Correct.
You know, you've got skills in your organization that aren't necessarily matched to where you're going. And that must be something that must be quite difficult to manage, that transition, and ensure your people come along for the journey.
You're 100% right, Duncan, and VMware internally had the same challenges. We've got a case study, what we call VMware on VMware. So we do drink our own champagne, or what they used to say, you know, Kool-Aid. Eat your own dog food, or the Kool-Aid we sniff, though. So ultimately, the fact of the matter is we had our own challenges internally. We were very siloed. We were very the network team was independent of the storage team, was independent of the server team, et cetera, et cetera. Then we brought on board a CIO, Bask Lyre, which is basically the CIO for VMware and for Dell Technologies. And luckily, Bask is one of those individuals that's not scared of change, that's got a great focus, a great drive, great management skill, And he with his management style and the drive at the top, we managed over a time period to break down those silos, create what we call a software-defined private cloud within VMware, which is probably one of the biggest private clouds in the world. We also make use of many other cloud environments, so we're a multi-cloud company. We do make use of Office 365, Azure. We do make use of IBM. We do make use of AWS. Because in VMware, we also know that if you want to achieve, you know, greatness and you want to innovate and move forward, you cannot do it on your own. And you do need to partner and make use of multiple vendors to achieve your goal. And it was quite a challenge for us internally, but we managed to do that. And today our IT environment is an awesome environment, and I can say that because I'm one of the users. It's an awesome environment to connect to and to make use of.
I think one always thinks of the end user, the end customer of IT, as having to go through these massive changes, but I think one forgets that it's the vendors themselves also have to go through massive change, and we've seen it over the years, and some IT companies have done it successfully and others haven't, and they've failed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what we sometimes forget is the vendors are also massive organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at organizations like Oracle, Microsoft, SAP, which are some of the largest giants
in
the world. Those are big organizations with big internal IT infrastructures that they need to maintain, and the same with VMware. Nothing different. It's just I'm glad to say that we've got a full software-defined approach internally as well, and that it's very seamless to work inside the VMware environment or corporate at the moment. If I forget my device at home, I can basically open up another laptop, log in with my credentials, and I'll have my applications and my full work environment in front of me.
Mm.
So if I get a new laptop, I literally enroll that laptop, and boom, my applications and everything is back again. So the user, we always say the application is like the VIP in the room, but the user is definitely the king in the room, in the sense that if the user experience is bad, no matter where it runs, how it runs, then the application experience will also be bad.
And everything has to be seamless in this world. It's what users expect. They don't want to have to struggle with anything.
100%. I mean, if you switch on your phone, you've taken it out of the charger, you expect it to work. You expect your WhatsApp to work. You expect the internet to work. You want a seamless experience when you make use of technology. When you press your start button in your car, you want the car to start. Now, it probably doesn't start when the battery is flat, but you expect when you push that start button that it will work. And we've gotten so accustomed to technology over the years that we actually start to trust technology. To give you an example, if you go to the ATM and you withdraw money, and let's say you withdrew 500 Rand, do you actually, Duncan, go and look if there is 500 Rand in your hands, or do you just slap the 500 Rand in your wallet and you move on?
Never count it.
Exactly.
Probably so basically, should, but I don't.
so in other words, you've learned to trust the technology, that ATM technology, that it will give you the right amount of cash. We've learned to trust some of the technologies in our cars, you know, when you switch on your aircon or your ABS or something, you know, that everything will work in that car. So where the technology is definitely going from a data center perspective, from an app perspective, and from an any device perspective, in the fourth industrial revolution, you know, blockchain, machine learning, quantum computing, you know, all this, this new technologies that's emerging, we will need to trust the technology moving forward.
Before we wrap, let's can I ask you maybe to paint a picture? We're heading into this 4IR world, this always connected digital world. What does the CIO of the future actually look like? What should they be doing to get ready for that world?
I think that the CIO of the future, or what we call the super CIO of the future, should be an individual that would not want to have sleepless nights about infrastructure, about what's running in their data center, or ultimately what's running on the public cloud environment. They should be concerned about what applications are deployed in their private data center or in the public cloud domain that is servicing the business. Like I mentioned earlier on, it's all about profitability. It's all about the competitive edge. It's basically all about the business. The business is linked to an application. Application needs to run and be innovative. And the CIO of the future probably needs to worry about what type of developers they have from an application perspective. Is that application the correct application for the business? Is it a containerized application? Is it a cloud-native application? What are they doing with all their traditional applications? Are they going to rewrite it? Are they going to get new type applications to replace it? So I would say the CIO of the future, if he's still going to worry about the speeds and feeds and whether or not a database, a storage unit is up and running or not, is going to have some challenges on their hand. Purely, I'm saying CIOs of the future need to focus on the business and the applications serving that business.
So Ian, by the same token, what we've spoken about the CIO, but what will the IT department of the future look like?
So the IT department of the future, you know, sitting with some of the CIOs at roundtables and doing some observations, one of the CIOs mentioned that IT, the IT department, needs to move from a cost center to a profit center. In many, many companies, the majority of companies, the IT department is just seen as a cost center and an ability to actually make, to articulate technology in a certain way to make that business tick and to move forward. But what we are seeing that the new IT department of the future should have the ability to innovate and show the business that innovation, whether it's through development of new applications or whether it is, you know, how they deploy applications in their private data center or in the public domain. But the IT department of the future should be able to show innovation to such an extent to the business that the business can see them as a profit center, not a cost center.
How do you measure that, though? I'd imagine it's quite difficult to do.
Yes, but when it comes to finances, ultimately you can relate it back. There is all kinds of I can probably get technical on you, Duncan, and say that we've got all kinds of tools. Business tools and finance tools and everything that we can run against the environment. But what it actually boils down to is the IT department driving the correct amount of innovation to have to support the new business ideas? So if, let's say, for instance, there's a insurance company out there, and this insurance company has got a great idea for their mobile application. Now, to get that idea out there, they need someone, their IT department, to actually develop it, to run it, to support it, and to get it out to market as quick as possible. So why does the business always have to go to the IT department and say, hey, we've got this great idea? You know, it is IT that's running the technology and driving that innovation. So it could also be the other way around, where the IT department, instead of keeping the lights on, say to the business, hey, why haven't you thought about this? Why haven't you thought about that? Why haven't you thought about X, Y, and Z? And then they know their capabilities and they know how they can actually develop that. And I'm sure that the business will then start looking at the IT department, not just as a cost center anymore.
Yeah, and I suppose there are ways of incentivizing, if that's the right word, or at least encouraging innovation to come out of IT. You know, perhaps it needs to be led at a CEO level, and the message gets down, you know, drive innovation. This is what we want to see. These are ideas we want to see. This is how you will be rewarded for it, etc.
Definitely. So, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, you know, when you deploy workloads in one of the mega cloud providers out there, you're not worried about keeping the lights on from an infrastructure perspective. Mm. It's their worry. You know, they need to keep the lights on, etc. Now, when we go to edge computing, you know, what we're saying is that, you know, the data center is coming to the oil rig, the data center is coming to the factory, the data center is coming as close to the business or the factory as possible, and that's what we call edge cloud or edge computing. Now, if we look at that, that edge, and we virtualize that, and it's also run by a VMware or a Dell EMC or a AWS or a Microsoft, you also do not have to worry about that edge infrastructure. You just need to be concerned about what's running on top of that. And that means most infrastructure people of today will in the future probably be in either development roles or application roles or innovation roles that's linked to business. So as we know, IT departments today and the certain functions and the silos that we have in those IT departments, I would say will change in the near future.
Ian Janssen van Rensburg is lead technologist at VMware in sub-Saharan Africa. Thank you for a great discussion and thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you very much, Duncan.